Hi, everyone, and welcome to the special simulcast of the Neil Haley Show and the Love Is Podcast. I'm excited to welcome the host of the Love Is Podcast, Kim Sorrell. Kim, how are you? And I know you're excited about our guest.
I'm doing great, Neil. I am so excited about Josh Lassie. He is one of the most interesting, Josh, you are one of the most interesting people that I have ever read about or ever looked into. You are going to be a Navy SEAL like your dad, and now you're an actor. Instead of being in power, you're now an influencer. And what a transition that had to be in life. And now you're in this great show, The Baxters, Karen Kingsbury's series that is so good. Everybody should be watching it. But Josh, I am a big fan, and I just think that you're just an amazing guy. You box, you run, you do so much. Welcome to the show. I'm so glad to have you.
Wow, what an introduction. Thank you, Kim. I appreciate that.
Yeah, well, it's so true. You do so much. I love what you did with military suicide. I've got a couple of sons who are vets, and one of them is a nuke. And that's a high rate of suicide, unfortunately, with the nuclear engineers and in the service. And I know that's something that's near and dear to your heart that you've raised a lot of money for. And I appreciate that. How did you get behind that?
Yeah, thank you. Well, very long story short. Obviously, as you indicated, I grew up in the military community and was sort of just surrounded by a lot of suicide, unfortunately. And as I got older, I wouldn't say I became numb to it, but just one day realized, like, wow, this is far too normal and prevalent, which is not a good thing. As you know, statistics indicate 22 veterans die by suicide per day. That's a DOD statistic, which I think is conservative, and a lot of people would agree the number is probably higher. That's just unacceptable in every way, shape, and form. So I had a couple of good buddies die by suicide in 2001 and 2002, and that weighed on my heart as well. And so I ended up wanting to do Operation 22, obviously metaphoric for the number 22. And yeah, we were able to raise a lot of money. And ultimately, we ended up having just north of 1 million views, actually, cumulatively through all of our videos. So I'm really proud of what we did.
And that's the thing. Being proud of what you've done, and how did you transition from there to acting? Not many people have taken that route, man. How did you do that transition?
Yeah, I appreciate that. It's, a long, long one there, but the short version of it is, my father was a CEO, my grandpa was, like we just said earlier, the three-letter agency guy, and I was definitely following in those footsteps. And I actually spoke to an acting coach at Virginia Commonwealth University. I was studying Homeland Security and Criminal Justice at the time, and it was just a bit too serious in my life. I ended up taking an acting class, and this was right after Golden Gloves. And I fell in love with the craft. I fell in love with the psychology of it, of the freedom of being a little bit more nonchalant and less serious in my life. And long story short, he and I sat down and had a discussion. I said, man, my heart feels like, God's calling me out to pursue this art and go in a different direction. And he said to me, and I quote, Washington is power, but Hollywood is influence. And I actually heard Kim use the word influence momentarily ago. And it's true, not to say that I have some great influence, because I certainly don't, but, there are many an individual who do. And that's where I'm striving to get to, is to just create a platform to make positive change from. We were already able to raise so much awareness and money for veteran suicide. And, there are other issues at hand that need dealing with. And not to sound like a cynic or a pessimist, because I'm certainly not, but it is my view that most folks in Hollywood aren't really doing enough about a lot of issues that matter. So that's really what I'm fighting for, man. And, I love the craft. I love the arts. That was how I transitioned. My whole life before that was, my why was making an impact on the world through defending the country. And now it's through spreading art and positive messagery.
I love that about you. I love that you have such a passion to help the world, help people, and that's your why, that's your driving force. And you're kind of selling yourself a little bit short. If I put all the actors together that I adore in this world, Chris Pratt is one of my top, and you're Chris Pratt-ish. Like, your future is gigantic, and you are an influencer. And what's wonderful, Josh, is that you know other people. As you're in the industry, you know other people that maybe have a bigger following even than you do or whatever, but that's influence, to be able to talk to other influencers and gather that power. So don't sell yourself short. You are fantastic and you are an influence for sure. You're a huge influence.
I appreciate that very much. Thank you. Yeah, no, I hear you 100%. And like you said, it's really great knowing other people, connecting with people, and learning from them, frankly. Like Chris Brown's a perfect example. You can learn from him and try to follow in those footsteps, see what certain people did right and wrong, you know, hold your cards, play them when the time's right. And right now, yeah, you know, I feel really blessed. Things are really going well, and I'm just trying to make sure that I'm avoiding the potholes and doing things right as my career is growing. It's a weird time, to be honest.
Yeah, and this and you have the iCarly fame, FYI. I see that specifically. That's how the start was. Now let's talk the Baxters. Tell us the premise of the show for our listeners out there that and viewers that don't know the show, and then specifically your character.
Yeah, great question. I've called it the little show that could a couple of times now because it's really shocking everybody. We made this show before COVID, actually, and so many different things happened. You know, COVID obviously changed the world. MGM, the financiers, especially behind the show, were acquired by Amazon. So this show's been in the pipeline for quite some time. It's a really beautiful show. It's currently number 7 on Amazon Prime, which is really great. It's performing well. It's based on a literature series from a woman named Karen Kingsbury, who's a genius, in my opinion. And that series has sold quite literally millions of copies. It's a really beautiful faith-based series, but it's actually, and I think the reason it's doing so well is it's quite different from most faith-based series in the sense that it's just not shying away from raw truths of the world. I mean, my character, for example, is a part of a church shooting, and someone dear to him is killed in the church shooting, which we've seen multiple times here in America over the last 10 years alone. And so, you know, I don't want to name specific examples, but there's a lot of faith-based content out there that's just like, oh, everything's so great and dandy, and you find the Lord or whatever your religious sect is. You know, they just make it seem like it's a pretty box tied to bow, and no one in the world is really, in my personal opinion, going to identify with that because we live in a dark world right now, and I think the show's success is in large due to the fact that it's not dying away from things. It's not not showing alcohol, not showing death and sex. Like, those are a part of the everyday world. And unfortunately, if you do want to spread a message of positivity, I think it's got to be a real one. It's got to be authentic. It can't be like, okay, here's our message to you. Trust me, come over here. It's all great and dandy. So audiences have really responded well to the show. And my character in specific, as I noted earlier, he is a man of faith. He was born really privileged, actually, in a town in Indiana, Luke Baxter, to a family of 5. And he kind of had, you know, an easy way of things until he experienced some serious tragedy in his life. And when that happened, you know, he loses his faith. He has a personal crisis, you know, a long mental journey. And I thought that psychologically that was beautiful. It's what drew me to the character because that's real. That's authentic. And, he, you know, ultimately, without spoiling the show, he ends up finding his way to a better path, and it's just a character that I really wanted to portray, and I'm glad that I did.
Okay.
Yeah, and you do such a great job of it, by the way. So good.
Now, Kim has a love question, and then I'll see if we have another question for you, but go ahead with the love question. I know he's going to blow us away as he's blowing me away today.
Yeah, by the way, Josh, your girlfriend is played by Cassidy Gifford, which I think is great too. But anyway, so Josh, I lived a year trying to figure out the true meaning of love, and the stuff that I found out just blew my mind. I used 1 Corinthians 13, love is patient, love is kind, etc., and worked on one word or phrase a month. And I was in Haiti most of the time I did it. And love to me is so different than anything that I was ever taught. But love is big everywhere, right? And I'm wondering, with your passion, with your compassion, with everything that you're doing, where does love play a role in what you do in life?
Oh, man. Can we get an extra 10 minutes? No, that's a tough one. I'll say a couple things. I'll say 2 quick things. Number one, it plays a role in everything that I do, not in the sense of, oh, look at me, just in the sense that I try to always act out of love, and I fail at that every day. We all do, if we're being honest with ourselves. But if you are grounded in something, whether that be the Lord, whether that be something that you, you know is authentic love and holiness, or it's just a personal why for how you want to go out and affect the world, if you're grounded in a foundation that's real and that isn't going to get blown in the wind when things start going hard in life, then I think you're always going to operate out of a place of love because, you know, love is tough to define if we're talking about, you know, marital love versus, you know, love for your neighbor. If you're doing authentic good, your why is real and you have a strong foundation in something that wants to help the world, you know, you not what the world can do for you, but what you can do for the world, then I think you're going to operate from a place of love. And that's where I try to live my life from. I actually have that written on a little slot on my whiteboard here that I look at every day. And of course, as I said, I'm the first to admit I fail at that. I lose my temper. I just screamed at my dog 10 minutes ago. you know, I try to operate from a place of love. And I think that that's the first one. The second is, you know, we talked about passionate love, marital love. It's like I've been with the same woman for 15 years. I met her when I was 14, where we've been married for 2 years. You know, it's never broken up. We've done long distance while I was in Los Angeles and she was in Virginia. You know, obviously we've had our struggles, but it's an authentic love. And so she plays a huge part in my life. And our relationship plays a huge part in my life, you know, trying to support one another, to grow one another as humans and in that love, and to create a family, a home, a place where, you know, we're
fantastic.
That's what it is to me. That's it.
Awesome. Check out The Baxters, available now on Amazon Prime. Appreciate it, Josh. Thanks for stopping by, and it was a great conversation.
Always, man. Thank you. Great to hear from you guys.
You're welcome. You're listening to the special simulcast of the Neil Haley Show and the Love Is Podcast, guys. Take care.